You remember that face?
Welcome to HR Talk. Coming live to you from the A1A Beachfront Studios in sunny Orlando, Florida. I'm going to have the pleasure of having JC and Ricky with me today. Just a little word of advice. If you are still drunk on Monday morning, call out sick. If they ask what the matter, I mean, just tell them you're drunk. It's not safe to drive the company vehicle. They'll appreciate your honesty, and it'll give you about an extra 12 hours to find that job.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm JC. Across the table from me today, Ricky Baez, back with HR Talk right here. Big shout out and thank you, very special thank you to the face of the franchise for these new intros. Definitely setting the tone and mood. And with that, we would like to welcome the face back to the show this week. How you doing, sir?
Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure.
Well, we always greatly appreciate you volunteering your time.
Yes.
For these endeavors.
I don't know how much you appreciate me. You just use my time, but it's okay.
Well, you volunteered it, so we put an emphasis on that.
No, I volunteered a freaking picture.
Yeah, you did. Well, but, you know, you knew that leads into other things. It's a gateway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, kind of like the preamble there on the intro, you were talking a little bit about, you know, showing up to work drunk on Monday.
Yep.
Maybe might be best to call in instead of actually showing up to drive that company vehicle.
Absolutely.
Today's show, we're going to get into the topic of things that happen at work where you might be relieved of duties or fired.
Quickly.
Ricky, over to you.
Well, I mean, it's a... I mean, I guess for this topic, we have the leading expert on how to get fired and how to get escorted off the property really quick. That would be the face.
Yeah.
So the face, if you can just tell us, what are your favorite ways?
Well, I mean,
to get fired from work.
If humorous ways, like if you win the lottery,
okay,
you don't need it anymore, and you're my manager,
okay,
maybe you walk in and I'm pooping on your desk. That work, right?
I mean, you wouldn't be fired immediately. I will be shocked at first, but yeah, you're right. Then I'll fire you later.
Then there's a chance. I get an extra 2 hours out of you.
Well, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's that's one way. Does it really have to be pooping on my desk?
Doesn't have to be. You said get fired immediately.
Okay. All right. So pooping on desk is one of them. Yeah. All right. What else?
Intoxication at work is not. Is that a word?
Intoxication?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm using it.
Okay, use it.
Yeah, get drunk at work. That's not good.
All right.
Well, I guess it depends on the work environment, too, though. Some bartenders do have some drinks on the job. It's part of the social interaction of the duties that they have to perform on a regular day.
Yeah. Or the quality assurance engineer at a brewery.
Ooh.
Yeah, they get drunk at work, don't they?
I wonder what that regulation is, how much they can drink. Well, on the job.
Well, I mean, it's you have to taste it. I'm sure you don't need a whole keg.
Tasting, not drinking, gentlemen. I've looked into it.
Okay. Got
it. They spit it out.
Do they?
Which is a waste, yes, sir.
Okay. I didn't know that. So
they swish and all this other good stuff. And
for beer? I thought that was like for scotch and
wine.
And all wine and stuff like that. It's tasted. All the same thing, huh?
Yep.
Okay. So first, just setting the box here. Let's build the box. You've got one side of it where people are looking to get fired, and then you have the other side of it where they feel they've done nothing wrong, but they're going to get fired regardless. Right?
Yeah.
Face. If you are looking to get fired and you can't, you have a problem.
Okay. Can you give me an example of that?
I don't know. I mean, wreck a truck.
Okay.
Get drunk and wreck the truck.
I mean, I think they'll both get you fired.
Correct. Well, not necessarily the truck.
Not wrecking the truck. If it's your third time wrecking the truck.
Tell them you done it on purpose.
Well, yeah. I mean, what if you didn't do it on purpose?
Well, that's an accident.
Okay, so that's one accident.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm your boss. You wreck a truck. Yep. You're like, hey, boss, here's what happened. All right, no problem. So it's just, it wasn't your fault. It was an accident.
Correct.
All right, make sure it doesn't happen again.
Okay.
A month later, it happens again.
A month is close.
Okay. Okay, two months.
Is it his fault this time?
No, it's still an accident.
Okay.
Then what?
Then you start some paperwork.
Why? It was an accident.
Okay. It's still an occurrence. An accident can happen. If you suck at driving, I don't want you driving my vehicle.
Yeah, that's the point I'm trying to get to.
All right. You're so my wife right. doesn't need a license to drive a company truck.
Okay.
She sucks at driving.
Okay.
She knows it.
All right. So that's one way.
That's one way. But that's not going to get you fired.
Yes, it will. If it keeps those things happening over a period of time.
Yeah.
But the topic today is getting fired immediately. Getting escorted out.
Yeah, like if you want to get in a fight at work.
Okay.
With, I don't know, anybody. Yeah, for no apparent reason. Or maybe a legitimate reason. It's not legitimate at work. I would imagine that would be a good excuse at work. If there is, I would like for you to share one with me. I can use it.
A good excuse to fight?
Yeah.
Where you won't get fired?
Yeah.
There isn't one.
There you go.
Yeah,
see,
okay. Right.
That'll help.
All right.
There's a thousand different things, man. Think about if you say it out loud and it's funny, it'll get you fired at work.
All right. Here, I've got one for you. Talking about calling the bluff, okay? In a way that you could potentially get fired on the spot or relieved of duties on the spot, you walk into the leader's office, charged and energized for your new promotion, and you lay it on the table. You say directly right then and there, you know, and you're bluffing, I have an offer to go to our competitor down the road. Times have been tough lately. You don't really fully appreciate me, but I love being here with you. But I'm ready to go. And I might even go by the end of the day unless you can match what they're giving me, which is about $5,000 more. You're calling the bluff, and you could potentially get fired on the spot.
I'm not saying you get fired on the spot, but if you time it properly and do that on April 1st, and they say, we're not matching, like, April Fools. I'm just kidding, boss. I mean, damn, lighten up a little bit. I'll see you this afternoon. Walk out, go to work.
And then they call security. They escort you out.
Then you're going to need to find that other job.
Well, there you go. Then you find that that other job you was interviewing with that made you the offer. We're just kidding.
Yeah,
April just Fools. Kidding.
Yeah. Is it ever really a good tactic to bluff like that?
It depends on where your stature is in the organization. How valued are you to your organization? If you are a troublemaker, if you are costing the organization money, depending on what state you live in, they could just give you walk-in papers right then and there. If you say, hey, somebody else made me an offer, I'm going to get X amount of dollars more a year. If you're in an employment at will state, which Florida is, then and they just don't like you, you know what? Don't worry about your 2 weeks. Just take your walking papers right now.
Let's break that down a little bit. No, employment at will, what is that?
That is employment at will. That is when an organization can let you go for whatever reason they see fit that is not protected by law. So what does that mean? They can look at you. They just don't like you. They can let you go. They don't have to have a reason. There isn't a contractual agreement to have you here for X amount of time. So they can just let you go. Now, in Florida, it's weird because if you go ahead and you fire somebody and you don't have any reason behind it, and that person comes back and sues you and says, hey, I got fired because I'm black, I'm white, Hispanic, whatever the case may be, and you go back and say, no, it's not because of that. It's because we just don't like them, but you don't have any real rationale, you're going to have an issue. Because what are you going to say in court? Because here, if you say that it's this discriminatory, but you don't have any real reason to back it up, then you're going to be in trouble. So from your perspective, Face.
I have a question on that. So I'm company A.
Mm-hmm.
I have HR policy A. And this is what we're going to go through as far as disciplinary action. So we're going to write you up. We're going to go through the steps, this and that and the other. You're going to go over a written or a verbal and then a written and then a written, secondary written, mm-hmm. and then a final and then whatever. In Florida, you get to step two and say, screw it, I'm firing them anyway. Or do you have to follow the policy?
No, so it depends. That's called progressive discipline, right? Mm-hmm. So if you show up to, so you have to give the person an opportunity to rectify the issue. So if you made a mistake and you know better, you were trained, but you still continue to make those mistakes, we give you a verbal. Then we give you a second verbal, whatever. Mm-hmm. Then a written, then a final written, if the same issues keep happening, because mm-hmm. we want to give you an opportunity to rectify that behavior.
Right.
Now, that's progressive discipline. Once you get to, you keep doing it again, that after the final, now you're going to get fired.
Right.
So that's different than, let's say, you walk into the cafeteria and you decide you don't like Bob, you pick up a chair and just crack him over the head with it. Mm-hmm. That's not a verbal warning. Right, that's going to be. We're going to jump straight to termination at that point.
Assault.
It is from the legal perspective. Yes, they can press charges on you.
Yep.
But then you also have your job to worry about because it happened at work and you just assaulted a coworker.
It's hard to work from jail.
It is hard. Well, you can work from jail, but they just pay you in honey buns, which, by the way, is more than what we're paying you.
It's actually pretty good too.
Huh? The honey buns are really good.
I love a honey bun.
Yeah, I know, me too.
I had the microwave. Are you kidding me?
Okay. So yeah, the face. I guess he got a text. He got up and walked away.
He'll be right back.
He'll
it's,
be right
it's
back.
Quite
yeah,
fine.
He's coming back.
So
it's
what's
okay.
What's the alternative to employment at will?
The alternative,
yeah,
to employment
what's,
at will.
What's the other rules in other states?
That's a weird
right to what? Right to work?
No, that's no, not the that's, alternative. Right, okay. Right to work and employment at will are constantly used interchangeably, which they're wrong. So. Right to work state.
That's a real big key point I want to hammer in on because some people do get confused about that sometimes.
They do. So right to work means that that has to do with unions. That means that you do not have to join a union in order to work for a specific organization. So a lot of people think that right to work means that they can fire you for whatever reason. It's not. That's when employment at will comes in. So that's the big difference. One has to do with unions. One does not.
Okay.
Employment at will is us here.
That sounds great. So if my company operates in several different states,
mm-hmm.
So do you, as a company, do you come up with a standard or is it still state by state?
It has to do with the state that you are currently working in. So if your company is based out of California, but you are collecting your paycheck and paying your taxes in Florida, you abide by Florida states by Florida laws.
Okay, so the company itself can have an SOP of sort, but then it's still by the state.
Don't confuse SOPs with laws.
No, I'm not saying.
No,
yeah,
no
well, I'm saying.
Yeah.
A standard is which this is the process we're going to go through in Florida. Mm-hmm. That process may be different in the state of California.
Correct. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So one great example.
I'm trying to figure out a state I can move to where I can't get fired.
Well, I mean, you're pretty good at that, so I don't know.
So I hear District
never,
of Columbia might be that.
Never
that
been. Hey.
Here we go.
I don't like to be on TV. I've never been fired.
So what? Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How'd you manage to stay employed on this time?
I don't know. I have a really good buddy in HR. I got a really good buddy in HR.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I wonder who that is. Wonder where I keep getting texts and calls in the middle of the night.
From burner phones.
Well, one good example of that is state taxes. Right, so you've got if you have an organization that has a presence in multiple states, you got several states that don't pay state taxes, so they don't take out those state taxes. So as far as payroll is concerned, you can have two people, same job, same company, two different states, they are taxed differently. So also two people, two jobs, the same job, two different states, you may have one state that has a different minimum wage than another state that has another different minimum wage or how they get paid and how overtime works.
So yeah. I mean, it's based on cost of living and all this other trash, but like that's one reason that me and Tiger Woods moved to Florida. There's no state tax.
That's the only reason. That's the only thing that you guys have in common?
Yep.
Okay. Good.
Yep.
I'm just.
I'll
odd
just
you
leave it
them.
Right there.
Yeah, let's leave it right there. I'm good with that.
That and I like Perkins.
Perkins?
Yeah.
The restaurant?
Yep.
You really?
Have to read up on Tiger Woods to get that one.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't like Perkins. Or Tiger Woods, for that matter. I don't like. No, what happened with Tiger Woods and Perkins? I don't know.
Oh, one of his many girlfriends was a Perkins waitress.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I did not know that at all.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
It was on the news.
Oh, yeah. Well, I forgot you read.
I do read.
Yeah, you do.
What about some things that you may have seen happen in the workplace where people didn't get fired, but they maybe should have?
I had a buddy collapse a balcony while we were in the military. He probably should have been punished slightly more than he was. Hanging out with the wrong group. Just bad, you know, bad timing. I don't know. Do you have any insight?
I cannot think of a better example than that one.
So the guy didn't get fired for that.
You can't get fired in the military, I don't think. Or you should have, you know.
I know some people who did get fired.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's brig time. So probably should have had like 30 days in the brig.
Rick, you said that you have heard of people getting fired from the military.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
My roommate.
Such as?
My roommate.
Yeah, I'll leave that there.
My roommate, while I was in the military,
continue.
Was relieved of his service time prematurely because of poor decisions he made.
I don't understand what you mean.
He failed a test that he did not study for when he came back from leave or liberty. And it was what they call a urine analysis test.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay.
So he pee in a cup and fail, and they sent him to the brig.
But at that point, he's still employed. He's just
not getting paid, and he's in jail.
Yeah, I guess that kind of constitutes not working.
Well, that's interesting because in a civilian work
environment.
And then
I ruined myself.
You what?
Awesome.
Well, in a civilian work environment, when that happens, you don't go to jail. You just get fired.
Right. So they got some hard time out of him, and then he made big rocks into little rocks and little rocks into sand. And then he was sent back home to his home state with a discharge that was less than honorable, let's say.
Okay. So drugs would do that. Don't
we'll
do drugs.
Say he's not entitled to veterans benefits.
Okay. Got it. Good.
Kind of pissed me off at the time.
Which part?
I think the fact that he had his substances in our room at the time that I didn't know about.
Oh, that part.
That part.
That puts me
in jeopardy.
Yeah, that's right, because now they're questioning you.
Yeah.
Is this yours? And are you going to own up to it? Absolutely not.
He admitted it.
Well, I know, but what if he didn't?
Then he'd have died right there in front of some other people.
And then you would be
justified.
Yeah. Okay. You would be justified.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess so.
When there is an incident that happens in the workplace and someone is going to be relieved of duties and escorted out on the spot, is it best to make sure that we conduct that and do that in front of everybody? Should we pull the people to the side? Do we use this opportunity as an example for others to learn from? What's some of the best ways that way from the managerial perspective?
So from a leadership perspective, you really have to plan out how you're going to have that conversation, where you're going to have that conversation, and anticipate how the person is going to respond to that conversation. So you really got to put your strategic hat on and figure out, okay, so are we going to have this conversation in my office, and then I may have to escort them out, but I have about 1,000 yards to walk in front of a bunch of people between my office and the door. That's called a walk of shame.
Could definitely have a Jerry Maguire effect at the same time, too, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, that's it could go wrong because the person could start going ballistic. They could start yelling profanities, all kinds of different things, and it opens you up to a lot of other liabilities. And it's not good for the environment of the organization. So the best thing to do is to pre-plan and just have a room near the door. And just have your conversations there. Now, you have to constantly move that location because the longer you do it in the same room, as soon as you tell somebody, hey, meet me in room 108.
You know.
They'll know, right? So you constantly have to change it. But what you have to understand and make sure of is that you keep that conversation as far away from other people as possible. Now, the other thing is, if they're truly not expecting that conversation, you've got to talk to a colleague or that person's supervisor or your supervisor. As you're having that conversation, you need to have somebody else collecting their things, because you don't want that person going back on the floor after they just got fired, not knowing what's going to happen, to collect their personal effects, their immediate effect, like their keys, wallets, pictures, whatever. Everything else you could just mail later on. But it's – and, you know, JC, I've – in my career, I've seen way too many people who enjoy having that conversation too much. They How really so? Do. They live off the adrenaline of firing somebody. I can't stand that. I really can't stand that.
It really takes a lot to get to that point, though. Sometimes it's organizational change. Sometimes it's something that the individual has done. But if we're talking about the benefit of the individual, the goal ultimately is not to get to that point, to try to coach and bring people along as best as possible, correct?
Yes,
But we still have to make choices at the end of the day.
You still do, but as a leader, you have to check your emotions, especially if you know this person and you grew up in the organization with this person, and you can't believe this person did that to you, backstab you, whatever the case may be, you get really pissed and upset.
And we're talking about checking the emotions in two ways, not just for the conversation with the individual, but maybe even checking your own emotions so that maybe you don't get that thrill off of it, or if you start finding yourself getting the thrill off of it. Put yourself in check and scale that back a little bit, right?
Scale it back, but just it really is as simple as that. Just take the emotions out of every conversation, but you have to keep that emotion there to keep the human side of the conversation there. Because it doesn't matter what that person did. At the end of the day, all the work is out the window, and you have to have that conversation in such a way that it's empathetic yet stern.
All right.
Because you really don't want to beat that person down more than he or she has already been.
I've got a great idea. It's time for an exercise. I think the fans and listeners are going to enjoy this one.
Here we go.
Ricky, you've been a great asset to this team. I can't thank you enough for your time so far. What I need you to do, though, is if you could just swing by room 508. The vice president wants to talk to you real quick.
Why do they want to talk to me?
I'm not exactly sure. It could have been something to do with the good things that have been going on lately. I don't know. Just stop by real quick. Come on. Okay, I'll take you down there.
So wait. I know room 508. I know what happens in that room. Tell me if I got to get my keys. Tell me if I got to get my bag.
No need right now.
Are you sure?
Yeah. 508's the room where we do the pizza every day.
All right. Well, let's go. You tell me there's no need. I'm going to go with you.
I think he's got an award for you or something.
Oh.
Maybe something special.
Then let's go. All right.
I think he has something special for you.
Yeah, because you wouldn't lie to me. Yeah. So, all right, fine. Let's go down. Let's go down to 508.
Down there. Okay.
Domino's Pizza.
Sir, Ricky's down here. Do you mind if we come in?
Go ahead, sit him in.
All right. I think he's off the phone. Come on in.
All right. Hey, Face.
What's up, buddy?
How's it going?
I need you to sit down for a minute, man.
Oh, okay. I'm sitting down.
Okay, you remember, and I know you do, we've been talking about it for weeks now. You've been, less than stellar in X, Y, and Z, and we've tried to do this, and we've tried to do that, and it's getting to a point now, man. I don't know if we're going to be able to fix it.
Fix what?
Your performance.
What about it?
It's poor at best.
It's poor?
Yeah, poor. So this is what I need you to do. Go get your keys, and... Get all your personal effects.
I'm sorry. I am confused.
Yeah.
What do you mean my performance is poor?
You're fired.
Why am I fired?
Your performance is poor.
I just got the salesman of the quarter last quarter.
I have literally shredded every piece of paper you have sent to me in the last 6 days.
I can't. No. Okay. So I'm being fired. I need you to tell me exactly why I'm being fired and help me understand that it's not because I'm Puerto Rican. Because that's exactly what it sounds like.
It may be because you're Puerto Rican, but it's not because you're Puerto Rican.
Okay. So
it's because you're Puerto Rican, Ricky. And I told you several times we don't speak Spanish at work, and you're not abiding by these rules. So
we're still recording, guys. We're 25 minutes.
And I don't find this a laughing matter. I feel bad for you and your family. You got, 13 kids?
It's good. I am going to sue the shit out of you.
I don't have any money. This place is going downhill. In case you're wondering, people, that's not the proper way you want to handle this deal.
So then when you come out of the office.
But I did call him a cab. I did call him a cab because I was drunk when I got to work.
You, come out of the office. You didn't even have the common decency of getting me an Uber? You're going to put me in a cab?
What?
Not even an Uber or a Lyft?
It's a, what do you call those things that had to park at the airport? They wouldn't park at the airport anymore. that they wouldn't let at resorts.
I have no idea what you're talking
about.
Oh, yeah.
They wouldn't let them at the airport or at resorts
Uber.
Anymore. No.
Not Uber?
It's the yellow ones.
Lyft?
No.
No.
Dude, it's like a cab company.
I have no idea. Why am I being fired, Face?
Because you're Puerto Rican.
Oh, shit. I'm suing you.
I mean, I love you, brother. I'm coming over Friday, but I can't afford to pay you anymore.
He was honest. He was honest.
He was
And you did receive a cash award.
I did get a cash award.
It was a severance. You did get an award.
He was very honest. You lied to me.
No, because, I told you you were going to get an award.
Wait a minute. No, but I asked if I got to go get my keys. Now he's telling
me.
I'm pissed. I'm going to you're suing. No, I'm suing you.
Yeah.
You're firing me because I'm Puerto Rican. Now I'm going to go out into the floor of 150 people and start yelling and telling everybody how they don't like Puerto Rican or black people.
But if you notice, there's none left.
So know what? At this point, I am happy. Thank you very much. I am rich.
You should probably appreciate this.
I am rich at this point. I'm going to go and I'm going to get me an attorney.
Oh, you're not going to need a good one, though.
It's really bare
get that
minimum.
Dude off TV.
I just want to let you know, since you fired him, I quit. So
that's I'm okay. Walking out with either you. One of you are paying me anyway. So this is.
So, folks, obviously that's not the way to do it. That really is not. But you know what? You bring up a good point. You do bring up a good point on the importance of having documentation, right? Because believe it or not, there are some people out there who do think that way. They do, right? And they fire people based on their race, age, color, whatever it is, anything that's illegal. But they don't say it. They don't flat out and say, I'm going to fire you because you're Puerto Rican. At the end of the day,
I could nitpick what you do at work and start a paper trail.
There you go. As long as the paper trail is there.
And then it would be somewhat justified in my mind.
Correct.
Because I'm justifying it anyway.
Either way, but the paper trail is there.
But then I feel like I've got enough to take you to court and win.
Correct. But on the other side, a good attorney would say.
Probably don't.
But on the other side, a good attorney would say, wait a minute. So I need to see every other person who's Puerto Rican, and are you nitpicking their stuff? How come you're not nitpicking the white people? How come you're not nitpicking the black people? Why is this the only person? And boom, that's enough to go ahead and get you sued, which you said you got no money anyway.
No,
so there's no point. Yeah, see, there's no point.
All right, so let's flip it around real quick.
Okay.
And let's see how it goes the other way. Face, we're at the door of the vice president right here. He wants to talk to you real quick.
Man, I know what this is about.
Hey, Face, how you doing?
I'm good.
You're good? Okay. Awesome. Hey, so I want to talk to you about something, and this is pretty serious. I've been taking a look at your past quarter results, and I've been looking at your performance each and every week. I saw that your numbers are down. What happened?
You're welcome.
Why do you have a dog here, Face? Why do you have a dog here? Do we allow dogs here?
It's a service dog.
Okay, that's a good comeback. That is a good comeback. I didn't know you had a service dog. Nice little dog. Awesome. So I've taken a look at your performance, and I did take a look also at your leadership, and they've made you aware how you're lacking week over week over week. You were given a verbal warning. You have given a written warning. You was also given a final warning. And again, now we pull your numbers again, and you still are not up to par. So I wanted to let you know that we're giving you all the tools that you need, and I don't think this employee-employee relationship is going to work, so we are going to have to let you go today.
I need a severance.
You're not going to get a severance. Why would you think you're going to get a severance?
You're going to need security.
So why would I need security?
Because I'm about to go ballistic.
Hey, it's okay. I already pushed the button under my desk. They're outside the door. Let's just do me a favor. just do me a favor.
You got a bank button.
I've got a button under the desk. Just do me a huge favor. We don't need to make this a bigger deal than what it already is. Okay? So I'm going to walk you out, but I don't want people to look. So just you walk out in front of me. I'll take a couple of step backs. But before we do that, is there anything else we have to get from your desk, your keys, your bag, something? Because we really don't want you back on the floor.
I got a bottle of scotch. And
you have a bottle of scotch. Okay. We can definitely ship that to you.
And my 40 caliber.
So really? Okay. So you're definitely not going back to your desk. Right? So it's okay. I'm going to go ahead and call my colleague. They're going to go and grab your bag and your keys, and we'll walk out the door. But I just want to let you know that – oh, actually, not let you know. I just want you to understand the reason why this is happening. Do you have any questions on that as to what I laid out about your previous report, your previous performance, about the documentation behind it? Does that make sense?
Sure.
It does make sense?
Sure.
Okay. So once we walk out the door, it's going to be just two gentlemen walking, right? No issues.
I don't consider you a gentleman anymore, but yeah, we'll be walking.
That's fine. It's okay. So, look, I don't want to have to call the police department, right? It's much easier if you just walk, whether you think I'm a gentleman or not. That's fine, okay? Let's just walk calmly, and then we'll be on our way. Fair enough?
Sure.
Awesome. All right. So now, as we're walking out, he's beating me to a pulp.
So here's a question for you.
I'm too tired for that.
Here's a question for you. The employee turns to you and says, yeah, I do have some personal effects at the desk. And just like he said, he has possibly a weapon or some alcohol or something. Mm-hmm. And you, as the employer, you would ship that to him? Let me put your pistol in a box and mail that back.
No. Yes. Absolutely not. We are not going anywhere near that desk. I'm going to make sure he doesn't walk over to that desk. Even if he's bullshitting, I am not going to call that bluff. So this is where it's going to get interesting, right? Because if we start
you
walking
do have
that
to
way,
get the law involved in that after I'm
after off. You're 100% okay. Right. Because I'm not going to touch anything in there. I'm going to call law enforcement. I'm going to say, look, here's what we have here. I don't want to touch anything in there. Please come over, right? Because now it's easy for us to Monday morning quarterback and talk about it right now. But what is happening right there? Mm-hmm. Tempers start going, your pulse starts going, people start getting nervous, and you make mistakes. It's better to do it here in this mock environment, right? But what happens if we walk out and you decide to, I don't know, be a sprinter and start sprinting over that place? So what do we do? Oh, over to the desk. So now I have to jump into action. Now I got to tackle you. Yes. Now I'm getting physical with you. Now, I don't suggest anybody does that. But
well,
at that point,
got
in time,
other employees
absolutely
to take consideration. So.
Absolutely. So, so hopefully you're bluffing, and hopefully that there's nothing in there. You walk out calmly, and I will call the cops.
Now, in this example, you really didn't have like a lot on the table in regards to benefits or things that I might be providing you on your way out the door.
Anyway.
But if that was something that was on the table. You would take the opportunity to let them know of a severance or what happens with their leave and vacation, or you leave that off to the side.
It depends on the conversation. It really depends on the conversation because you as a leader who leads that conversation and leads that termination process, you have to be able to gauge the temperature into the room, in the room and understand where he is. Where he is mentally, is he receptive to what I'm telling him? Do I see him getting really, really, really upset that me prolonging that conversation is going to make things worse? No.
So here's the thing. You have the demeanor like he just gave you, and let me add this caveat to the mix. Part of the knowledge is he's been one of those workers that doesn't use a lot of vacation time, has a large bank there, and... What would you do? What would you say to him about that time? Because, you know, it may be something that's valuable to him.
Most of the time, time is, even like where I work, they give it to you up front. But you actually accrue it over the year. So it depends on if it's in January and we hadn't accrued any. Even though it says I have 160 hours on the book, I could use all 160 hours. But if I get fired, I'm not getting paid for anything other than what I've already accrued through that month. Does that make sense?
So it does make sense. So what you're telling me is that you can be allotted 160 hours for the year because you earned that on a weekly or monthly basis, whatever the case may be. But that tells me that you can go in the hole.
No, we can't.
You cannot go in the hole.
Cannot.
Got it. Okay. Because some organizations.
Actually, let me take it back. Yeah, if you go. Okay, so a new guy at this company I work for gets 2 weeks vacation.
Okay.
Up front. January 1, 2 weeks vacation.
Okay.
He actually earns those 80 hours throughout the year.
Correct.
The way it happens with, well, so far, with the people that have been relieved for the place I work, if you haven't accrued those hours, if you've accrued 4 hours, they'll pay you 4 hours.
Okay.
If you've actually taken vacation, and then it...
No, you're good.
And then you get relieved of your duties, I don't think they actually recoup any of that money.
So...
I think they consider it, okay, you got me.
It's some organizations do that.
Some, I know, because I had a guy, when I lived north of here, he used every bit of his 3 weeks vacation he had earned in January looking for a job. We're interviewing for a job and came back and...
Says goodbye.
Did his 2 weeks. Right. And
some organizations...
He didn't know him anything, you know?
Well, some organizations do that. Others will send a letter saying, you owe us this. If you don't pay this by X time, we'll report you to the credit bureau.
Yeah.
That you owe us this money. Now that's in Florida. In California, now, so in Florida, let's say you don't get paid for another week and a half, you'll get your last hours paid in that next paycheck. California is different. California is what people call the immediate pay state. If you are to term somebody, you need to have their last hours paid right then and there. Oh, either wow. A check.
In hand.
In hand. So that's the law over there. And I think there's another state that does that, but at least the state escapes me right now. But if you are an HR professional there or a leader there, that you have to term somebody, you've got to have a lot of manual checks on hand, because normally 90% of the population are now on direct deposit.
Yeah.
So you either give them a live check, a manual check, or one of those gift cards. Not a gift card. Pay cards. Not the Carrabba's gift card. No.
A gift card, like the ones the guys ask for on the phone to pay the FBI back then.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Don't you love that? Yeah.
Could you drive to Walmart for me?
Can you get $8,000 in Visa gift cards to scratch the back off and give me the number 1Y1, thank you?
So I can pay the IRS.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. So
last one that called me, I told him I was a trial lawyer and I would meet him in D.C.
Oh, is that right?
He hung up.
Oh, well, of course.
Sure. Then I told one that I'm surprised that I owed that less of money because I haven't paid taxes in 28 years. Then I told one that it was surprising to me that nobody had said to me anything at work. And he's like, why would they discuss this at work? I'm like, because I work for the IRS. So it's fun.
You'd be surprised how many people fall for that. And they make money.
They're still calling because they're making money.
They make money. If they make 1,000 calls.
You piss them off enough, they'll tell you they're making money, and they don't care. They're being jacklegs doing it.
Well, you got someone pretty good recently when they called you like that, didn't you? Kept them on the line a little bit long?
Yeah, so I get those calls quite a bit. And so what I do, I have an hour commute to work and an hour commute home from work. And I understand they work in a call center. I know how call centers work. I've supported them in the past, and I support one right now. So I do know that if they call you and their goal is to get money off you, scamming legally, illegally, whatever, they have a metric that they are held accountable for.
Mm-hmm.
So the longer they are on the line not collecting money, that's money they're not collecting from somebody else. So what I like to do is I do answer those calls. Instead of getting upset and hanging up, I answer those calls and I keep them on the line as long as possible, telling them the craziest stories like you. But I just completely drag it out. Hey, go to Walmart. Absolutely, I'll go to Walmart. Oh my God, look, they have a special on orange juice. Let me get that. No. Go get the gift card. 45 minutes later, and then they know they're not going to get anything out of me. The more I do that,
it aggravates them.
It really does.
It's
so
awesome.
You don't have to block them. They'll block you.
Yeah.
And if you got the time, go ahead and do it. I mean, again, I have an hour commute to work every day. So I got plenty of time to mess with their average handle time. But – yeah, so as far as the IRS, that scam, there's a lot out there. I mean, think about it. If for every 1,000 calls, 10% pay, that's a payday.
Yeah, and the number's always a crazy number. I mean, it's $7,000.
It's insane.
And so then, you know, they'll give you a 50% discount if you pay today for $3,500 to some grandma in Idaho.
They'll do it.
Has nobody to pay her bills for, has no idea if she owes anybody money or not. strokes a check.
Yeah.
You know?
And unfortunately, they fall for it, right? And they're preying on the unsuspecting. And I don't know how anybody can actually get up, go to work, quote-unquote work, and do that to people.
They don't have a conscience.
They really don't.
All right, so you're working at one of those organizations, and instead of being called into the office to be let go because you were just on the phone for that extended period of time that you shouldn't have and you didn't meet the quota, it's time to let you go on the spot rather than pulling you aside. Or maybe there's another scenario or situation at your organization where the firing is taking place immediately. How do you do that?
Am I working at the IRS
wherever, scam place? Maybe.
Okay. All right.
Immediate fires. Immediate termination.
Drops on your call center.
I don't see any situation where somebody is fired immediately. It's not wise. Even if you know it's going to end up in termination, it's not a good idea to fire somebody immediately. You really want to conduct an investigation, make sure you cover all your bases, get all your witnesses, everything in line before you pull that trigger.
Do you put them on leave, administrative leave without pay for a period of time while you conduct that investigation?
It depends on the situation, and I'll give you two examples.
And we'll use like an egregious type thing.
I'll give you two examples. If you have somebody that's performance-wise, you are going to let them go, then yeah, you get all the documentation in order, you let them go, there you go, no harm, no foul, right? Now, if you have one employee that's sexually harassing another employee, and the evidence you have thus far at the first part of the investigation is pointing to the fact that this is true, you take that variable out of the equation. You send that person home. And the reason you sent that person home is because if you have enough evidence to point that that is true at the first part of the investigation, that investigation is complex. It's going to take some time. You do not want a person still there, making people feel uncomfortable, still there, harassing other people while you're conducting the investigation. So you send them home. Some companies are different. If you send somebody home, some companies pay them while they're on suspension. Other companies do not. But you conduct a full investigation, all the statements, all the witnesses, all the data, all the evidence while that person is out of the office. That's the only time you would send somebody home. Well, I don't want to say that's the only time. The only time you send somebody home while you're conducting an investigation is if the person can cause physical, mental, emotional damage at the organization while the investigation is being conducted. That's how you do it.
To the face. We are nearing the close of the show
so
at this point.
So you're telling me my chances of my suspension man. With pay are almost nil? That's my goal.
No. Look. Please do not go back to your workplace.
I want somebody to pay me to work. Pay me not to work. Hell, I want somebody to pay me.
But that's a short-term goal, right? Because if you do those things that will cause you to be suspended with pay, that's the only pay you're going to get. Because once you we don't suspend anybody with the understanding that they're going to come back with a final written warning. That's when you have enough that you're going to think that they're going to be fired. Now, the people come back because after the investigation, you find out it wasn't as serious as you initially thought. So, yeah, you bring somebody back, whatever the case may be, but that shouldn't be your goal there, Face. So please don't do that.
Mm.
People out there listening, don't listen to the Face.
It's disappointing.
Look at the Face. Don't listen to the Face. Don't do that.
And with that being said, we are nearing that 45-minute mark right now. I'd like to head forward towards some final thoughts. First, over to Face. Bring out anything.
Yeah, if anybody's listening and takes me serious, you're going to get fired. I will continue to be your poor example.
That's why we love you, brother.
Serious. It's like that disclaimer. Don't try this at home or at work.
Don't. Do not try it anywhere.
I'm not a professional.
Well, over on my end here, I would definitely say I think that the exercises kind of helped out a little
bit.
Here, you know, two different styles and two different ways of doing it. Sometimes hearing is believing in that regard, and everyone's got their own personal style. We just encourage you to take some of the words with you today. Carry on with those. Rick, over to you. Some of the best ways for people to reach us, and then your final thoughts as well.
Well, the final thoughts is just that. Just make sure that whatever action you take For separating anybody from employment, you've got to have the documentation, you've got to have the rationale, all your ducks in order before you actually pull that trigger. Make sure that your emotions are out of it, and make sure that you stick to the facts, follow the black and white, and you should be okay. And when you do have that conversation to separate somebody, make sure you never forget about the human aspect of it, and you're empathetic in the process, yet stern.
And with that being said, a big special thank you to our volunteer, the face of the franchise, the guy that's on the cover art for HR Talk, for being here today. Once again, Ken, thank you enough for being down.
You're welcome.
And the best ways for people to reach us, Rick?
On Twitter is Podcast HR. On Instagram is HR Talk Podcast. And same thing on Facebook. Or you can email us, hrtalk@biasco.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's HR Talk. It's been our pleasure to be here for you. Drive safe. Have a good night.